Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Really blessed with the music this morning, the songs. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us where we fail you, Lord, and fall short. And Lord, help us to rise up, Father, and that your kingdom, Lord, would be alive in us, Father, in our hearts. Give us wisdom, Father. And Lord, we just thank you. Fill us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want to talk this morning. This song we sang earlier, Striving Onward, Pressing Forward. Striving onward, pressing forward, life divine to gain. I just thought of that as we sang that this morning. Then we sang, Onward, Soldiers, Onward, Christian Soldiers, that song. And as I thought of that, I thought, life divine to gain. You know, everybody is seeking to go to heaven. They want sometime in the future to go to a place where everything is blissful and everything is wonderful. And I guess I want to ask the question this morning, is that the goal of your life? Is that the goal of your life? Just to go to where everything is going to be wonderful for you. And as I say that this morning, I hope that is not your goal. Okay? I hope that's not your goal. Because that is not why you were put on this earth. So that you would ultimately get to a place where everything goes right for you and you are happy. That's not your purpose in life. That is humanistic, and that follows after the gospel that puts man in charge of everything, and his happiness is the ultimate means for life. That's the ultimate goal for life. And that's not what we were created for. As we sang this, or I looked at this, striving onward, pressing forward, striving onward, pressing forward, walking, going, pushing towards a goal. Heaven, right? No. No. Striving on, pressing forward, life divine to gain. God has given you a soul. He has given you a soul that can either descend to the lowest depths of hell and be defaced and defiled and filthy and dirty, selfish, or a soul that can be brought up to be like God. And I'm not talking to be some divine creator that has power and control over everything. I'm talking about being a man like Christ Jesus was on this earth. A divine human being. That's what divinity is. It's not being able to explain all the great mysteries of life. Being divine is to have God-like characteristics. That a human being could take on the very blessed characteristics of God. Oh, that's unobtainable. We've sinned. We've fallen short of God's glory. We can't ever be that. You know, whenever I hear that, I hear Satan the victor. He's the one with the power. Satan is the ruler because we can't become like what Christ wants us to become. Who does that exalt when I say, "Oh, I can't, I'm just a sinner"? That's just saying, "Satan, right here I am, I'm all yours. I'm just gonna give up and give myself to you." In Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised aforetime by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning the Son Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our Lord. He's our Lord. And just as Satan is the Lord to the sinner, or the one that serves him, or the one that is under his bondage, Satan their Lord. But Paul is telling us about Christ Jesus our Lord. What I want to do this morning is get us out of this attitude. Christ Jesus is our Lord. And our goal in life is to obtain to Him and to be like Him. That's what a Christian is. A Christian. A little Jesus right here on this earth. You know, we was talking about it. They called them Christians first in Antioch. How many people in the world would they look at those people and say, "Whoa, those people are little Christians. They're little Christ." That's why they called it, because they looked like Him and they acted like Him. And they hated Him and they hate them. It was a slur. "You're acting so much like that Jesus. You're just a Christian." That's what a Christian is. It is someone who so imitates his master that he's patterning his life after him. And I'm going to tell you one thing. That is the highest purpose in this life for you. There is nothing else to obtain in this life if you miss this. Nothing else matters. That's why we love Christ. We adore Christ. We want to be like Him. There's not many things in this life that if a human being wants to obtain, he doesn't get it. You know, we use the verse sometimes that he that committeth sin is of the devil. And whosoever does not commit sin, he's born of God. He's of God. See, this is a test of who do we belong to in eternity. When we stand before God on Judgment Day, whose seed did you reflect? Whose life did you reflect? And we teach people this, and we try to teach them, and they say, "Oh, you never sin. You never sinned. You're so much better. You never sinned." Anything that this world seeks after, they can get. If you set your heart to something because you want it, and you live your life, you do whatever it takes to get it, because that's what you want. You want a new car? You work for it. There's people that have goals for things like that. And your goals are obtainable. People get them every day. They set their life on what they want and they get it. Why? Because they've given their heart and soul to get what they want, to please themselves. They put their life into it and they obtain what they want because that's where their heart is. And when we're talking about being a Christian, whenever your will has become surrendered to Christ, you'll get what He wants with the same degree that you can pursue what you want in this world. We so limit Christ. We just give Satan so much power. But if our hearts get set perfectly on the will of God instead of the will of pleasing yourself, you can put the same amount of energy towards seeking God's will and doing His will that you do pursuing your fleshly lust and worldly lust. And people pursue their worldly lust with perfection because that's the center focus of their life. And if we can get our center focus of our life not on our will, but Thy will be done, you can pursue that the exact same way. And what's wrong with that, or what is so crazy about that? What is so outlandish to think about doing right as well as we did wrong? Whenever I was in the world, I pursued the world with my whole heart. I did what I wanted. And I did what I had my goal set on. When I was 25 years old, I had 30 houses. Because that was my passion, and that was my life, and that was my goal. And I put everything I had into pursuing that. No matter what obstacle came against me, I was going to be a rich, powerful man. Because that's what I wanted. And I set my heart to it. And when I started reading about Christ, I felt ashamed of how dedicated I had been to this world. How passionate I had pursued my own lust. How passionate I had pursued my own pleasure and trying to build my own image of being who I wanted to be. And I felt ashamed of that. And I thought, I've devoted my whole life to this. And I want to be a Christian. And I want to be a follower of Christ with as much passion and with as much power as I put in to following the world. What is so difficult to understand about that? Can't I devote myself to being a saint? To being like Christ as much as I can towards the world? Who has more power? Greater is He that is in the world than he that is in heaven? Is that what we believe? Well, that's sure enough what everybody acts like they believe. They wouldn't dare say it. But that's the way they live. That's the way they talk. That's the way they act. And it is a disgrace to a holy God. It's a shame to a holy God. Praise the Lord for a David once in a while that would say, "Who are these uncircumcised Philistines that you're trembling before?" We serve the God of heaven. And He is more powerful than that big giant. These big giants of theology that are stalking the land. And anytime anybody wants to do right, somebody comes and stomps on them and says, "Oh, you'll be self-righteous if you do that." And people just cower. "Oh, you'll get... if you try to be like Jesus, you're just doing it on your own." Well, baloney, you do everything else on your own. Why can't you serve God on your own? The Bible says, "Serve the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength." You're doing it in your own strength. Well, you better be. Where will the ungodly and the sinners, if the righteous scarcely be delivered out of this world? Where will the ungodly and the sinners appear? I've heard people sit in church say, "Oh, I just want to get in heaven by the skin of my teeth." And I trembled. You ain't even in the race. That's all you want. Because you missed the whole thing. You're just wanting to get a safe place for you to live forever. You don't care about being a son of God. Concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. He overcame death. The way He lived in this life, there is no death to divinity. There is no death to godliness. There is no death. That is life. That which is good and right and holy has no end. But to that which is corrupted and defiled, it's headed to the trash can. Whenever you get a piece of equipment, as long as that thing works and does what it's supposed to do, you just keep it and use it and keep it and use it. But as soon as it breaks, and as soon as it starts causing more trouble than it's worth, you throw it in the trash can. And that's where sin belongs. And that's where a selfish heart belongs. Right in the trash can of hellfire. It's fit for nothing. It's broke. It don't work. And God has sent His own Son and sent Him to us so that we could be restored back to what He wants us to be. And then we say, "Oh, I can't do it. The devil's got too much power over me." Well, you're an unbeliever and you'll have your part with the rest of the liars and the whoremongers and the drunkards and the thieves, the drug addicts, and all the religious hypocrites that are just pretending. Because you're full of unbelief. By whom, verse 5, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. Among all nations for His name. For obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. We are called to be the light of the world. We are called to be an example of Christ in this world. Christ was one man walking in a place. And whenever He chose His disciples, He sent them out and He said, "Greater things will you do. You'll be scattered all over the whole world. Be in this light." And it's become so polluted, Christianity, that it doesn't reflect that light at all. It reflects nothing but a bunch of selfish people wanting to preserve their own hides. Or a bunch of selfish people trying to build a kingdom right on this earth and thinking that God is blessing them. Among whom ye are also the called of Jesus Christ. What is Jesus calling us to? Jesus is calling us back to Himself. Return. Be what I want you to be. Verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Called to be saints. Why were they called saints? Just because, we go to church over there and we're just saints because we go to church. We go to church because now God doesn't see our sin. He only sees Himself. We can live however we want. So we're saints because that's what God sees us as. The Bible says God is no respecter of persons. He that does right is right, and he that does wrong is wrong. God's not going to pretend you're a saint if you're a devil. You can lie to yourself. You can deceive yourself. You can believe that all you want. You can have such an assurance of your salvation that you would never even question that. But when you stand before Jesus Christ on the judgment day, and He looks at you and said, "You think I see me in you, but I don't see me in you." Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You didn't trick me. You may have deceived yourself, but you didn't trick me. God's not stupid, and God's not blind. They talk about this God being so just and holy that He can't even let... He's got to be His law. He's got to have His own Son crucified before He can even forgive Him. And then to let you live like a devil, breaking and smarting that, or just turning that law upside down, and then just overlooking it. The idea isn't Him being a disciplinarian. Because I said it, He's trying to correct us. He's trying to restore us. He's trying to bring us back to Himself. He's not just trying to beat us because His laws are right. And you're gonna have to pay the penalty for that law being broken. A good father trains his children to be what's right, to do what's right, not just to learn that it's all about me getting beat because I've done wrong. He's trying to create us and make us to what He wants us to be. Not just punish us because His laws are right. That's not the goal. Called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to be saints. Why did He call these people saints? It's because they were saints. They were saints. They were holy men. They loved God. They did what was right. You know, I was talking to a lady on the street Friday night. And she was saying some things and just talking about religion, just going around about religion. And I said, it's not about religion. It's about following Jesus. For example, when Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Or you don't fight back. You don't resist evil. And she said, if you can do that, that's divine. That's divine. I can't do that. But if you can live the way you're talking, that's divine. That's God-like. That's being a saint. And that's what being a Christian is. In Matthew chapter 6, no, but 5, I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 43. Oh, I could just start way up here. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be, the children of your Father which is in heaven. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. That we may be called the sons of God. Why? Because we pretend Jesus died for us and we don't have any guilt for sin anymore? No, not at all. That you may be the children of your Father in heaven. If you cannot live the life of a man that's pursuing after God and being like your Father in heaven, because that's how you were made in His image, what's going to change you after you die? Are the worms that eat your body going to convert you into a saint after you die? Is being tormented in purgatory going to change you into a saint after you die? No. Grace is gone. When you die, your day of grace is gone. You're as good as you're going to ever get. The reason for your life right now is to pursue God. And I'm not talking about absolute perfect perfection. I'm talking about, why don't you spend your life pursuing being what God wants you to do? We're pilgrims on this earth. We're seeking after it. We're pressing onward. We're striving for it. And when you quit striving for it, you're going backwards. You may have trouble. You may have to fight it. But when you quit, you lose. When you just say, give up and say, oh, I'm just a sinner, I'm just going to be here, you've lost. You're not pressing onward. You're not striving upward. You're done. We're in a battle. And the battle is for you to purify your soul and to become like God in the time allowed you by God to do that. And if you squander your time feeling sorry for yourself, or you squander your time doing anything else other than doing that, you are squandering your time. You're wasting your soul. You're wasting your life. Maybe in a false dream of hopes of heaven, or maybe in a false dream of something that's going to burn whenever Christ returns again. You're wasting your life. Use this time, as feeble as it is, as feeble as you may see yourself or think yourself, press on. Push on. That ye may be called the children, that ye may be. It's not called, that you may be the children of your Father in heaven, which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good. This is what He does. And He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? You know, there's sometimes my phone rings and I just get a knot in my belly. Because I say, well, here's trouble. And that's wrong. That's wrong. God doesn't get a knot in His belly whenever some of His more troublesome children call Him. He's good to the good and to the bad. He's kind to the evil and the good. And I want to be like Him. That's the goal of my life. That I can respond to human beings. You know, there's some people that it's just not very pleasant to be around sometimes. But I want to treat them all the same. I want to learn to treat them all the same. If you love them which love you, what reward have you? The publicans will do that. There are some people that come and beg. And it just gets wearisome, knowing that they're just going to go waste that again, whatever you give them. But God keeps giving them water. God keeps giving them food. God keeps letting the sun shine on them. Because He's good to all of us. No matter how we treat Him. And that's what He wants us to do. Verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect. Be ye therefore perfect. Oh, we can't be perfect. We can't be perfect. Well, Jesus Christ just told us that we should. He just commanded us to be perfect. And He just showed us how to do it. And it's not only that. It's be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's being a saint. That is a human being that is living a divine life. A life of God on this earth. 1 John. Verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. What manner of love has been bestowed upon us, that we could just say we're the sons of God? No. That we could be actually called the sons of God. What a blessing and a privilege that is. And I'm not talking about some superficial transaction that's taking place. I'm talking about if you look like the devil, you belong to the devil. And if you act like the devil, you belong to the devil. Because He is your Father. And we manifest who our Father is by the way we live. And if you pattern yourself after Christ, and His image is stamped on you, and you live the way He lived, what manner of love has He bestowed upon us that we could be called the sons of God, that we could be like Him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. We haven't even obtained that perfection that's available. But that's what we're striving for. And every man that has this hope in him, every man that has this hope of being like a son of God, purifieth himself even as He is pure. That's the very nature of pursuing Christ, being like Christ. And if that hope is in Him, if He's pure, we'll be like Him, and we'll pursue that goal. Let's turn back to chapter 1. Verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested. There's that life was manifested. In God is life. In the way He wants us to live, there's no wrong in that. It needs no laws. It lives. Sin is death. Selfish is death. For the life was was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. They saw it. They pursued it. And they were called saints because it was manifest in them. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which ye have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Light has come into this world through Christ, showing us how to be and how to live. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, or blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, hath cleansed us from all sin. Chapter 2, verse 3, and hereby do we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him, ought himself also to walk, even as He walked. I'm just outlining what it means to be a Christian. To be a saint. Oh, to be like Him. The song we've sang. Oh, to be like Him. Not just because we sit around and pray about it and just imagine it all the time, but to put it in actual, I'm going to be like Jesus. Not be proud because of what I think I'm obtaining. Because pride is not like Him. Pride is despicable selfishness. And there's a danger for people who begin to think they're liking them because they don't do wrong or don't do bad. And they get all puffed up in themselves. It's all right back to themselves again, isn't it? Jesus talked about the unprofitable servant. He'd fed cattle all day long and he came in and should he get rewarded? No. When he comes in, tell him to fix my supper. And then after he's done everything he's supposed to have done, he just bows his head and says, I'm an unprofitable servant. That's what we're called to be. This life that I'm trying to portray to you, of being divine like God. If you obtain that, and you get holier and purer and cleaner, and you love everyone, you're not going to stick your fingers there and say, boy, look what I've done. You're going to say, I've just done what my Master created me to be. I'm an unprofitable servant. I, myself, wasted so many years of my life. And God was so merciful and poured out so much upon me. There's no way if I lived the rest of my life, I could never repay. I'm an unprofitable servant. But that's not going to keep me from striving to be the best that I can be. If you get tangled up in pride, you're not being what He wants you to be. We're just all unprofitable servants. The only message I'm wanting to hear, I'm not worried about laying up big treasures in heaven. Some people think that they're... All I want to hear from my Master on the judgment day is, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Because He's my King, and I want Him to get the glory. And I want to be like Him. What greater compliment if someone has a hero, someone they really look up to, and all they want them to do is just look down and acknowledge them, "Hey, you're doing pretty good. You're not doing too bad." It's all it takes. They don't have to give you all their rewards. All we're looking for is approval of the man that we want to be like. Our hero. The one we look up to. We want to be examples of Him so that other people can see it, that want to see it. The ones that don't are not going to see it. They didn't see Him. When He came into this world, He was God in the flesh, divinity, a saint, purest above all. And they hung Him on a cross because they hated Him. And that's what they're going to do to us. They didn't recognize Him. They're not going to recognize us. It's not about our recognition on this earth. In Ephesians, there it talks about that husbands are to love their wives like Christ loves the church. You know, I've thought about sometimes how does Jesus love the church? He loves us by being an example. He loves us by showing us how to live. He loves us by correcting us when we're wrong. I guess sometimes I need, I feel like I need just propped up a little bit. Just, you know, a lot of times, Jesus doesn't just pamper us and make us feel better all the time. He doesn't just make us feel good and just make sure that we're just all comfortable. He doesn't do that. We have to stand and walk in this world, and sometimes it gets hard. And if we're just get to whining and thinking, "Well, somebody ought to recognize me. Somebody ought to appreciate what I do." We're missing it. Our focus is back on us again, isn't it? We're unprofitable servants. And when you take that like a child and just do what He wants us to do, we don't have to be praised for everything we do. We don't care. We're not doing it for praise. We don't have to make sure everybody recognizes what we're doing. Jesus said, "Don't even let them know what you're doing." If you have to be recognized all the time for what you're doing, you're getting your reward. A servant. A slave. Not in, "Oh, poor, woe is me. We're always the slaves. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a servant that loves his master and wants to please him with all his heart. You're called to be a saint. That's your calling. You're called to be like Jesus. That's what a Christian is. Throw all your theology out the window. I don't care what Bible verse you can come up with. The theme of this book is that God is looking for righteous men. Godly men. There's not one place in this book that says anything wrong about a man being a godly, good man. Being a righteous man. Being a holy man. That's the theme of what God wants. That's His heart. The theme of this book isn't about how much He loves you. The theme of this book is how much He wants you to be like Him. Because you were created in Satan's image? No. You were created in His image. And that's the way He wants you to live now. That's the price Christ Jesus paid to set you free from that wicked tyrant that keeps people in bondage, so that you could now be returned to your Creator. So that you could now be restored into His image. 1 Peter says, we are now partakers of the divine nature. And it gives us things to work on, to press towards that. Don't get discouraged. Don't throw your hands up and give up. Don't have a pity party because nobody's appreciating you. Pursue the goal like it was the most precious thing in your life. Put Him as the pearl of great value and price. And seek to be like Him with all your heart. You're called to be a saint. Not a proud hypocrite. Not a self-righteous Pharisee. There's a world of difference. This godless, worldly Christian church has thrown a holy man right into that mix. And so nobody even tries anymore to be holy. Be ye holy as I am holy. Just amazes me how these precious commands that God Almighty has given to men are thrown out because, well, that don't fit with Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. What do you do with that? Well, what do you do with be holy because I am holy? Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, that don't fit. Well, worship the devil if you want to. Let him stamp his image on you if you want to. And use a Bible verse and quote it clear to hell. Listen to God once in a while. Be holy because I am holy. The early Christians were called saints, because they pursued God and living a life after God with all their hearts, minds, body, soul, and strength. Be a saint. Father, thank You for Your goodness and mercy. Thank You for Your light. Thank you, God, for you reaching down to us, Lord, giving us grace, Lord, showing us how you want us to be, Lord. Help us hear that. And all the noise, Father, that's coming, telling us, trying to drown out your voice. Let us hear your voice. Have ears to hear and eyes to see. That your kingdom would come on this earth, Father, in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
I just thought of right as soon when you started out there about the what we're seeking to gain and our reward. Just thought of Paul in Philippians 3, where he said, "I've suffered all the loss of all things and count them but dung, and all that I may win Christ." Or like the other versions say, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not have mine own righteousness, which is of the law that you just talked about, his Pharisee, all his credentials and all that, but the righteousness which is through faith in Christ comes from God by faith, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead, just all being like Christ.
Uh-huh.
And then that I may lay hold of that for which also I'm laid hold of by Jesus Christ, that we were called for. Then I pressed toward the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's nothing about the bliss of heaven and so on, but just that high calling. He said, "Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude."
Amen.
Just thought a lot of three real significant conversations we had on Friday night. One of them was this, just seemed like a respectable Baptist boy that came up, and the conversation was, we both just got immediately fired up. He was, his Romanish theology just woke up, and he just zeal just knew no bounds. It was the kind of conversation you both respectfully listened to the other, but just couldn't wait to deliver both barrels at the end. And he just, the perverseness that came out of his mouth. We sin every day. We are all slaves to sin, he said. And as I talked to him about Christ and his reason for coming and being able to being set free for obedience to Him, and just build a little picture, and then ended up saying, and then they end up telling us that we're slaves to sin. We are not. I said, "You just told me we are." But he ended up then saying, he wanted to go, and he just said, "I'm just going to leave you with this. Look at Stephen. He is a perfect example of someone who didn't attain to what you're saying that we need to." And, you know, you just have to end up looking dumbly at somebody and let them go, let them happen. I have no slightest idea what he's talking about, because Stephen would have been my first example of attaining to what God called us to. I mean, heroically. Praise God.
Amen.
I just like to share my experience I had one time, some years back, when I'm just kind of looking into starting on my desiring to walk with the Lord. I heard a Mennonite bishop, I don't know who the other man was anymore, but they were really going back and forth about being a sinner saved by grace or a saint. And they confused me. And I mean, they stood on both on their grounds. The Mennonite bishop said, "I'm saved by grace. I'm a sinner saved by grace," he said. And he stood on it. "I'm a sinner saved by grace." The other said, "I'm a saint." And that made me look into the Word of God. I mean, I looked in and I found in Psalms 115 where it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of the saints." So then I found my ground.
Amen.
One time, Robert Knight, was you're either a Christian or a sinner.
Yeah.
That's some of the conversation.
I just realized how influenced my thinking was by the focus of heaven or hell. Like, that's just the thought that I had after the message today was the question isn't, do I get to live forever or not? The question is, can I live with myself forever?
Yeah. Am I living forever? Am I living forever?
Well, my idea is, can I put up with who I am?
Yeah, right, right.
Are the saints in heaven going to be able to live with me forever?
Yeah.
I mean,
Amen. But that, like, what my thought was, life is now. I'm living a life. I want to live a life that lives forever.
The way I am now, is that how I want to be forever?
Exactly. Pursue a life that lives forever, maybe, somehow. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, anyone else have anything you want to share?
What Paul was shooting for, which was Christ, but he said over and over, "I have not attained yet," or then a little later, "And I say again, I haven't attained, but I press forward." You know, and so often that's what we deal with. Well, you know, I've been saved or whatever, but that's not the deal. We press forward and say, just like Paul, we haven't attained to it, and because of that, I count everything as done, and then I focus on the prize, like Marcus was saying. That's the battle from here to there. Hopefully we pass on from life unto life.
Amen. All right, who's got the supper tonight?
I'm going to try to do it at my house.
Okay.
Somebody can bring a couple tables and 4 chairs. With the parking, I'm in front, on the south side of my house, there's a few places for cars. You can park a few cars there, and also in the line going, in the lane going to the chicken houses, if you'll just kind of pull off and kind of stay out of the hay. I mean, you can pull off the whole car, but, you know, but just don't get in the hay so much. I mean, you understand what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. We'll meet at Brian's at 6 o'clock this evening, Lord willing. All right. May God, grace, and peace be upon His saints.
Oh.